His word says in Hebrews chapter 3, "For we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. While it is said, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation. For some, when they had heard, did provoke, howbeit not all that came out of Egypt by Moses. But with whom was he grieved 40 years? Was it not with them that had sinned, whose carcasses fell in the wilderness, and to whom sware he that they should not enter into his rest, but to them that believed not? So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. Let us therefore fear, lest a promise of being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to become short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. For we which have believed do enter into rest, as he said, as I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter in to my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. For he spake in a certain place of the seventh day on this wise, and God did rest the seventh day from all his works. And in this place again, if they shall enter into my rest. Seeing therefore it remaineth that some must enter therein, and they to whom it was first preached entered not in because of unbelief. Again he limiteth a certain day, saying to David, today, after so long a time, as it is said, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. For if Jesus was given them rest, then would he not afterward have spoken of another day? There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. For he that is entered into his rest, he also hath ceased from his own works, as God did from his. Let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and it is discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession, for we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help time of need. We love you.
Hallelujah.
Candy read those scriptures out of Hebrews. One that she read said that if the writer of Hebrews, he was writing to the Jews, of course, the Hebrews. He said if Jesus had given them rest, then he would not have spoken. God would not have spoken of another day of rest. Of course, the word Jesus in the Old Testament is the word Joshua. And that's what he was talking about. He wasn't talking about our Jesus. He was talking about Joshua. If Joshua had have given them rest by entering them into the promised land, then God would not have spoken of another day. But I can tell you this, our Jesus, our Savior, he's given us full rest. Hallelujah. What Joshua could not do in taking them into the promised land could only speak of another day, is what he was saying. Well, that day's here. Yes. I've been born again. Yes. By incorruptible seed, I've been born again. I've entered into that rest. Now all of every salvation, all of everything that's in salvation, all that's in sozo or soteria is the full word, the healing, the ministry of the Holy Spirit. A sane mind, a healed body, a spirit that can reach up and say, Abba, and somebody reaches down from above my heavenly Father and says, that's right, son, you are my child. You have that rest, eternal rest living on the inside of you. This is the day that Joshua was speaking of. Hallelujah. Why don't you lift your hands and magnify Him? I glorify You, Jesus. I worship You, Jesus. I praise and glorify You, Jesus. I glorify You, Jesus. I magnify You, Jesus. You are that rest. You are that rest that we've entered into. I glorify You, Jesus. I glorify You, Jesus. Oh, blessed be the Lamb. Oh, blessed be the Lamb. Hallelujah, Jesus. Worthy, 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 Lord. Worthy, worthy, Jesus. Oh, we exalt You, Jesus. We exalt You, Jesus. We magnify You, Lord. Oh, we thank You for the eternal blood of the Lamb. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. Oh, I worship You, Lord. I worship You, Jesus. I worship You, Jesus. Oh, I thank You for that blood. Oh, we worship You, Jesus. We worship You, Jesus. Holy, 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 holy. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh, worthy, worthy, worthy. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Worthy, 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 Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, we worship You, Jesus. We worship You, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus.
Joy is our strength.
Worthy, worthy, Jesus. Oh, we worship You, Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, we just worship You for Your blood, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. We worship You, Lord. Oh, we worship You, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Worthy, 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 Jesus, hallelujah. Worthy, Jesus, worthy, Jesus, worthy, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, Lord. Worthy, 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 hallelujah. Hallelujah, Lord. Jesus, we exalt You, Lord. Magnify You, Jesus. Magnify You, Jesus. Magnify You, Jesus. Magnify You, Jesus. We exalt You, Lord. It's none like You, Jesus. We magnify You, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Praise be to God. Thank You, Jesus. Glory to God. Thank You, Jesus. Well, some are still coming in, and we'll give time for that. So, Renee just came up and called me Barney. But I mentioned that before to him, so he's just paying me back, but he's out of the service now. So persecute, if you're listening to the message this morning, I've got a shirt on. It may not be exactly Barney's color, but I'm up here to be seen and heard. Hallelujah. So if you don't know who the guy speaking is, just look for the bright shirt. I want to introduce somebody this morning. They were here last week, and we want you to get to know them. And her parents just happen to be along with her, so they can stand up or bring her up. This is Isla Hope, and this is, stand up, Amber. Go ahead, Mike. And Isla is, how old is she now? She's 2 weeks yesterday. Mm-hmm. That's right. So if you've not met one of the most precious people in the world to me, and I hope to you, this is Isla Hope, and
and Aubrey Faith. So we're thankful for what God has given to us and to you guys and to our church, and we just give God a great big hand, and Mike and Amber. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. How many are glad to be here this morning? Already the presence of God so strong, and so we're just thankful for that. Why don't we do this? Because I just suspect that the Holy Spirit may ask us to go back into ministry at the end of the service. Last week we had someone born again and Spirit-filled, and that's what we exist for, is for not just to come in here and worship, not only just to speak the Word. Homer and I have been talking recently, and if you know anything about Homer, he just loves the Word, and man, he's been teaching up a fire, man, just really, really good, and teaching us on Wednesday nights, and then he's got a class, a discipleship class, a sonship class on Sunday nights. But he and I are both, we're so hungry for what the Word brings us to, and that's the power, because we want to see a church of in demonstration. And I think that's the heart cry of God. He's had 2,000 years where at times there's been good teaching, and we've come into a time as we get closer to the end of time where the Holy Spirit, through praying in the Holy Spirit and through the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and that revelation, amazing enough, that revelation of praying in tongues was not even existent much more than 100 years ago when it was birthed back on this continent at Azusa Street. Actually began to start in Topeka, Kansas, and then it began to run its fire in Azusa in Los Angeles, California. So for the last 100 and something years, and that was right at the turn of the 20th century, now it's going to the 21st century, the Holy Spirit is getting us ready to bring back Jesus Christ. And He wants to do it. First of all, Pastor Dave prophesied a number of years ago that there would be a revival of doctrine. And now that doctrine is being established, God wants to bring forth a revival of power. He wants us not only to be able to preach what's on the black and white and say, this is what it means, but then also go and say, this is what I'm going to show you what this means. I'm not only going to tell you what this means, I'm going to show you what this means. And that's where we're coming to. Praise be to God. So that's why we call Immokalee saved, and we call Immokalee in revival. Why don't you say these words with me? I say that Immokalee and this region is in revival. The blind see. The lame walk. The deaf hear. The dumb speak. Demoniacs are set free. Maimed are made whole. Thousands and thousands are born again in this revival. In Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, we saw part of that beginning to work last week. And in every service, we pray every week, and that's our confession on Fridays, that the demonstration of the power of God is working in here. That you come in here, and that before the end of the service, even if we don't have a line for it, you can be healed out there. You can be ministered to out there. And I don't care what we're doing up here. The first order is to stay sensitive to the Holy Spirit. So even after service, our elders will stay. I will stay. We don't care about food anymore. You say, well, that you speak for yourself. I said, we don't care about food no more. We want to see arms and legs grow out. We want to see people healed. We want to see whatever it takes to make it take place happen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. We worship you. Well, with that being said, why don't you just privately go before the Lord right now and ask Him what He'd have you to give this morning? And we'll just have one more worship song, and then we'll give, and then get into some word, and then ask the Lord if He wants to demonstrate His power at the end of the service. So, Father, we just thank You. We love You so much. Holy Spirit, we love you. We adore you. And we thank you that you've been sent to glorify Christ in us. And so with that notion, with that understanding, we lift up Jesus. We magnify the Father. Give all praise and glory to the Lamb, to the one who sits upon the throne. We see him this morning high and lifted up, and his train filling the temple. We ask you this morning that not one will go out of here without their needs met. Not one will go out of here without being refreshed. Not one will go out of here who does not know Christ in a born-again experience. And Father, we just ask you to speak to our hearts this morning in our giving, and we give you all the praise and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. If you're giving this morning, just write it out of the Family Prayer Center. If you've not stopped by, if you gave in 2014 and you've not picked up your receipt, it's on the back table. The rest of them will be mailed out this week. If you don't pick them up, they'll be mailed to you. So let's all stand once again. If you have something, bring it down as we worship. If you've got something with it for us, Marty, and you can just stay in reverence. You can say hi to somebody, but let's not go too far. Pastor Neil Owen from Canada will be with us next Sunday morning and Sunday night. So I'd love for you to come out and be a part of that. He's a teacher of the Word. So he's getting out of the cold for a day. He and his wife are coming down. So praise God. Hallelujah. And just remind all of you that there's some wonderful teaching going on Sunday night. And that's by Pastor Homer. Glory to God. So why don't you turn with me to the book of Hebrews for just a little bit. Agree with me. Father, we just thank you and praise you for your word. Your word is truth. Heaven and earth will pass away, but your word will never pass away. Your word is truth. And the Holy Spirit can only speak truth as the Spirit of truth. And what he speaks to us is your word, confirming it. Now I ask you for grace. I ask you for strength, Father. I ask you that I will speak only that which is truth. Guide me, lead me. Help me to follow you. I get ahead or behind. In Jesus' name, and we give you all the praise and glory. Hallelujah. So how many of you know we are going into a revival? Amen? Amen. I said, how many of you believe and know that we're going into a revival? Amen. Amen. So don't stop praying the mysteries. If you're new and you say, what are the mysteries? Have you got a book of mysteries around here? No, but we've got one who prays the mysteries through us, and that's the precious Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. And he's got a plan for your life, and he's got a plan for my life. There's 66 books here, 39 in the old, 27 in the new. But I've looked all through here. I've looked all through here, all through Bible college and these 20 years over here in Immokalee. I have never, ever found the book of Bronk in here. It's not in here. So even though I get his general wisdom for my life, the do's and don'ts of how I should live, I don't have a scripted book in here that tells me what I'm supposed to be doing on a daily basis. Jesus said, I have many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. He was speaking to his disciples, but when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. Every day I can go to the book of Bronk through praying in other tongues, and I have a comforter, I have a go-between, I have one that will teach me, lead and guide me, and show me on the path of life where I'm supposed to be, what I'm supposed to be doing, and what my future is through the power of the Holy Spirit. Aren't you glad Jesus sent the Comforter? Praise God. Hallelujah. Let's look at the book of Hebrews for a little bit this morning. And I was here Friday night and we were sitting there and I was reading through and I read through once again through the book of Hebrews, and the Holy Spirit began to just remind me of some things. And I want us to see them this morning, because I want us to just know that we're getting ready for an outpouring, and the stand that we're going to have to take and where we're headed. Many of you know what it takes to make that stand, but as the days increase, we're going to have to increase in that stand like we never have before. And The writer of the book of Hebrews, we don't know if it is Paul. It doesn't say. Some people believe it is. The writing sounds like Paul in many different places, but whoever it was obviously writing by the wisdom of the Holy Spirit. And we're just going to go through the book of Hebrews just for a little bit until we get over into chapter 11 and 12, and then we'll speak more specifically. But just the beginning chapter, chapter 1 and verse 1 and 2, begins to tell you, it capsulizes and tells us what the whole book of Hebrews is about. I mean, from the very beginning, if you just catch this from the very beginning, then you'll know what the writer, whoever it was it Paul? I don't know, whoever it was, what they were trying to get across. And obviously they were writing to Hebrews. They were writing to people that were Jews. That was their main thrust. And so what they said, or what he wrote down by the Holy Spirit in verse 1, he said, God, who at different times, sundry times means different, and in different divers manners, spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets. So he's talking about their lineage, their heritage. This is how he once spoke to us. He spoke once through the prophets. Hath in these last days, everybody say, that's the days I'm living in. And I'm not talking about last days as in the coming of the Lord or those kinds of things. I'm talking about the last days began when Jesus Christ came on the earth. He says this, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he has made the worlds. Hallelujah. So that right there tells you that he's saying, he's not speaking salvation to you now, Hebrews, Jews. The wisdom of salvation is no longer coming through the prophets. Prophets are still on the earth. They can still speak through Jesus Christ. But the wisdom of God now has come to you through Jesus Christ. And that's the whole book of Hebrews. He wants them to get the understanding that it's all about Jesus. It's all about him. It's all about serving him and turning to him in a fullness. Because the problem, just for you to understand and to appreciate what we'll go over in a little bit and appreciate the book of Hebrews, the problem that they were facing at that time, and the real reason why the author wrote this by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, was the Jews were under tremendous persecution. Those that accepted Christ, they were under tremendous persecution to return to the old, and the old being the old Jewish laws, the old Jewish, the Mosaic truths, return to animal sacrifice. And the writer of Hebrews is saying, you can't go back there. There's no salvation in that anymore. You can appreciate those things, but you can never go back. You can never go back. And so the whole reason, the whole crux of the book of Hebrews is written in an argument to say, look, all of you that are under a persecution to go back. Now, we look at it today and we say, there's no problem with us. We're, of course, everybody in here, almost everybody in here is Gentile descent, and so we don't have a Jewish background. But even if we had a Jewish background, we would not have it in the kosher of what they were living in the days in which this was written. You can't imagine the persecution that they were going under, because one of the things was they had been raised up until the time of Jesus that the whole nation believed one thing. It was Moses' law, the covenant that God, you know, cut with Abraham. It was all in the old. And now this man called Jesus comes on the scene, and he says, I am the way, I am the truth and the life. No man comes to the Father except by me. Nobody's going to get there except through me. And so those who had been following Moses had to make the transition and say, okay, can I lay down everything that I've ever believed? And they weren't trading off the law. They were believing that Jesus Christ fulfilled the law. And yet they had to say, no longer will animal sacrifice get me clean before God. Something that I cannot see, which is the blood of Jesus, the blood of Jesus, which is invisible, it's a spiritual thing, that now I'm putting my trust of faith in Him, and that faith in His blood gets me to heaven. Well, the Jews that were the biggest part of the nation that had not accepted Christ, they were persecuting the church. They were persecuting it big times. And so, you know, from tradition and from things that we can even read in here, that persecution had a lot to do with a financial restraint. I mean, to us here this morning, Jesus, we're not persecuted yet for serving Christ in this nation. And even if we were persecuted, it wouldn't be because we were once under the law and now we're coming out. It'd be persecuted for just righteousness' sake, living a righteous life. But they then were, as a small group of people, as Christians, were having to say, we're no longer going to follow this. We're going to follow Jesus. Well, those that were still following the Mosaic teachings and law, they began to persecute them to the extent that they would, if you were a businessman, just ways of example, if you were a farmer, nobody would buy your crops anymore. If you were a store owner, nobody would shop at your store anymore. If whatever you did, whatever occupation you had, you were shunned. And as a result, what happens to people that can't sell? What happens to people that can't, they go broke. And there was a tremendous financial pressure being put on these people, besides for everything else. It wasn't just egg throwing at their house. It wasn't just hard times. It was the financial pressure. It was the persecution with words. It was the persecution where their children were being maligned at school, where their children could not go to maybe the best universities. They were just being shunned as a result of it. And there was a tremendous pressure on these people to say, look, we'll accept you back. We'll start bartering with you again. We'll start buying from you again. You can come back in if you'll just renounce Jesus. Just publicly say, all you have to say is, I was wrong. I was wrong. I thought I was right. I was wrong. It's not Jesus. I got fooled by the Christians. They fooled me. There was a deceptive spirit. All you got to do, just renounce Jesus and come back. And so some of them were. And Paul was trying to teach them, or whoever the writer is saying, look, he spoke to us once by the law and prophets, but that's not the way he's teaching us now. There's no other way except through Jesus Christ. You have to stay with Jesus and him alone. So that's the persecution that they were under, and they were fighting for that. They were fighting because there was a tremendous persecution for them to go back under. And we find that out throughout the whole book of Hebrews as we look. I mean, you can see it time and time again. Candy read from there this morning, and I was amazed that she was reading from there. Chapter 2, verse 1 through 3 says, therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. He's saying, look, what you've been taught from the beginning, everything that has been taught to you concerning Jesus Christ, you cannot let it slip. You can't go back. You can't begin to believe that animal sacrifice is going to be the thing that gets you to heaven. He says in verse 2, for if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, that was God delivered the Mosaic covenant to Israel through angels. He says every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward. How shall we escape, us being the church, the Christians, if we neglect so great salvation? He's saying you can't neglect this. Stay with it. Which at first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him. Chapter 3, verse 14. Again, just to let you know what the heart of this book is, he's saying you can't go back. And all the examples that he's giving of people, or to the people, is you can't go back. Verse 14 says, for we are made partakers of Christ if, everybody say if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast until the end. He said, if we hold, he's telling them. Chapter 4, verse 1, he says, let us therefore fear lest a promise being left us of entering into rest, any of you should seem to come short of. He's saying, look, Stay in there. You got to stay in the promises. You got to, what promise? Jesus Christ, mainly. That's the promise, Jesus Christ. There's no other way. It's through Him. The gospel is now being preached, not through the old, not through the prophets. It's being preached through Jesus Christ. Hold to Him. Chapter 5, look at verse 12. It says this. Verse 12, it says, "For when for the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again." He's continuing to just pound this into the church, pound it into them, how important it is for them to grow up and stay grown up. Look at verse 12. "For when for the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be," he says, "which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not strong meat." Now, he's continuing to admonish them, stay in Christ, stay on the promises, grow up and stay grown up, because if you do, you're going to inoculate yourself against the deception of these people coming back in. Now, when somebody comes in and cuts off all your finances, and at the same time they're telling you that you're wrong, the flesh will begin to be very motivated to become enlightened that maybe, hey, maybe I was wrong. Maybe what they're telling me about Jesus is not the Christ. Maybe I should just, you know, God doesn't want us under this persecution, honey. We're broke now. Our kids are being maligned at school. We're going through hell on earth. Does God really want this for us? Well, He's going to give some examples in the next few chapters that God's plan was that for them, if necessary, because that was God's plan in the old for those who stood fast. And here He's saying, "For when for the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk." He's saying, look, church, you haven't grown up. At this point in time, you should be teachers. But because you have not stayed steadfast, some of them were wavering. Some of them were in a place where maybe they could go back and say, well, you know, I don't know if this Jesus is the right way to go. And He was saying, stay on Christ. Keep going forward. He says, "You have become such as have need of milk and not strong meat. For everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat, staying in the Word and staying in Christ, staying in the promises of everything He was and everything that was being written of Him by the apostles and everything they could find of the promises in the old." He says, "But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of what? Use. Have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil." So He's saying, look, unless you engage in the Word of God, or unless you engage in the promises of the Lord, and unless you get strong and stay strong to the church, then He was saying, you do run a risk of being deceived. You do run a risk of there being poison in the pot for these Judaizers, these people to come back in and say, look, Christ is not the way. And because of the persecution, you may be convinced that you don't believe what you believe. But He says, look, strong meat, staying in God, staying under the promises, developing a life with Christ will grow you up. And He says it will have the ability, by reason of use, have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Therefore, verse 1 of 6, now this is all continuing, He says, therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, He's not talking about push them aside. He's saying use everything that you've learned from the foundation of the apostles. Use it as a springboard. Use it as a foundation. Leave or, you know, dive off from here or go forward from here. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on to perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith towards God, of doctrine of baptisms and laying on of hands, of resurrection of the dead and eternal judgment. And this will we do, if God permit, For it is impossible for those who are once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift and who have been made partakers of the Holy Ghost. This is the inoculation. This is what he's saying. Look, now this is really what he's saying here. If you meditate the book of Hebrews, he's really saying the opposite of what a lot of teachers will teach you. They'll say, let me read this, and then I'll tell you what they say, and then I'll tell you what the book of Hebrews is really saying by the Holy Spirit. He says this, for it is impossible for those who are once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift and who were made partakers of the Holy Ghost and have tasted of the good word of God and the power of the world to come, if they shall fall away, that means backslide, to renew them again to repentance, seeing they crucified to themselves the Son of God afresh and put him to an open shame. Now some people will teach, look, if you've ever been baptized in the Holy Spirit and have ever had a close walk with God, if you ever backslide, that's it. That's it. Does that sound like your father? No way. He's not saying that. In fact, he's saying the opposite to the church there. He's saying, look, go into God. Don't remain babes. Don't stay as babes, because if you will go into God, if you'll hold the promises, if you'll exercise your senses, and exercise your senses meant to repel them, not your spiritual senses. It wasn't that he was saying, look, you need to grow up in being able to discern this, that. He was saying, look, if your flesh is controlling you, if you'll grow up, you'll push away your physical senses, and you'll be able to discern both good and evil. And besides for that, you'll keep a steady walk into God so strong. He says this, that if you go into God to this point, he promised the church, if they tasted of the good things of God and the heavenly things of God, and God, he said, if that person, whoever goes to that full place of knowing God, who knows who Jesus Christ is so full of the Holy Ghost, they know that who he is. Listen, they're not just a nominal. They just didn't step in just for a little bit, and then persecution came. They got to know God. He says, if they fall away, it's impossible to renew them to repentance. Now, the repentance there was them repenting out of Christ. It was repenting back and saying, no, I don't know. What he was saying is they could possibly backslide, but that person will never, you'll never, 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 never get them to deny that Jesus Christ is Lord. You'll never get them to deny that Jesus, that it's some other way. You'll never get them to say, oh, it's by Buddha. Oh, it's by Hare Krishna. Oh, it's by the law. It's by the Old Testament. He's saying, look, if they go into that extent, even if they fall away, even if they go back in to the sin, he said, you'll never get that person. And that is an assurance that we can pray them out of sin back into Christianity. Praise God. Amen. Look at chapter 10. He's still talking about the persecution. He says in verse 32, but call to remembrance the former days. He's talking about when they came in to Christ. Call to remembrance the former days in which, after you were illuminated, ye endured a great fight of affliction. Partly because, King James says, whilst, partly because you were made a gazing stock. Everybody say gazing stock. Gazing stock means a public spectacle. In other words, everybody had their eyes on them. The church was coming alive. There was a lot of persecution on them. And Paul was saying, get strong, or the writer was saying, get strong and stay strong. Because even if you waver, even if a person backslides, they're still not going to go all the way back to the place where they say, I don't believe in Christ. Now, their salvation could be in jeopardy by sin, but they'll never go back to that place to where they say, I don't believe that Jesus is who we once said he was. But he says here, you were made a gazing stock, both by reproaches and afflictions, and partly because you became companions of them that were so used. In other words, he was saying, you got persecution on your life because you chose Christ, and then you got persecution on your life because you hobnobbed or rubbed shoulders with people that were truly walking with Christ. Hallelujah. Well, how many of you believe that persecution has been in the church, but it's going to continue and it's going to increase? We need to get to a place where we're strong and stay strong. But the strength that they had to walk in back then, Paul is going to say something more to them. He says this, partly because you became the companions of them that were so used. For ye have, verse 34, for ye have had compassion on me in my bonds and took joyfully the spoiling of your goods. So again, their means were being taken from them, the spoiling of their goods, knowing in yourself that you have in heaven a better and ever enduring substance. Cast not away, therefore, your confidence, which has great recompense of reward. For ye have need of patience. Everybody say patience. Just holding your place right there, we didn't read this, but in chapter 6, verse 12, it says, that you be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and what? Faith and patience inherit the promises. Now, just a little bit later, he's going to tell us some of the people that he was talking about who walked in faith and patience. And he was saying, look, you Hebrews, you're going to have to walk in faith and patience to be able to withstand the persecution to go back on Christ, to renounce Christ. You're going to have to walk in faith and patience. And he's going to show some examples of that. But here, as we continue to read in chapter 10, he says, cast not away, therefore, your confidence, which has great recompense of reward. Now, you know, you can use that on a personal basis. And I've heard people say, I've got confidence, God's going to do this, and I'm not going to cast away my confidence. Well, that's okay, but that's the fruit of it. What he's saying here is cast not away your confidence of Christ. Don't turn again. You cannot go back under animal sacrifice. The confidence that you're walking in is true confidence. Christ has been established as God's way to salvation. This is the only way. Cast not away, therefore, your confidence, which has great recompense of reward. For you have need of what? Patience, that after that you have done the will of God, you might receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he shall come and will come. He that shall come will come and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, and again he's saying you can't draw back, you can't go back, you can't. There's nothing back there for you. My soul shall have no pleasure. He quotes from Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 3 and 4. And he says in verse 39, but we are not of them which draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. He says, I'm writing to you. I'm assuring you, you're not like that. Continue to grow up. Get filled with the Holy Ghost. Because if you speak in tongues and get full of the Holy Ghost, the chances are you're sealing a place inside that you're not going to go back. And then he goes right into chapter 11. There's no break, obviously. There's no chapter 11. He's still teaching them on in a certain sense of not casting away their confidence. And in chapter 6, when he says, let's be followers. The word followers means imitators. Be imitators of those who through two things, through their faith and through their patience, became inheritors of the promises. Well, here he begins to talk about who those were, and he begins to share with us what they inherited. Chapter 11 says this, now faith is the what? Substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. And as we have said before, and we'll say again, this word worlds is not the word cosmos. That's when you look up, see the stars, or the physical planet that we're living on. The word worlds here is the word eons, which means a generation or a time. I'm living in my eon. That's my generation. And he's saying this, for through faith we understand that generations or dispensations were framed by the word of God, so that the things that were seen were not made of the things which do appear. In other words, He's about to go into several different dispensations, several different eons, several different times. He's not saying this. By faith, we understand that God framed the worlds. In other words, that God put faith in his words. And we know that Jesus is the Word and that through him, all the worlds were created, all of the stars and the planets. But that's not what it's saying. It's saying by the Word of God that came to those men and women that we're about to read, they took that word and they framed their world. In other words, they changed the world in which they lived. They changed the dispensation in which they lived. They, by examples to us of faith and patience, they changed the world. And it said so much so, they did it through faith, so that the things which he says here, which are seen, he says, so that the things which are seen were not made of the things which do appear. In other words, the things that appear on the outside was not the thing that was really causing the change. He's saying that faith, the word spoken to them, the word that they received, the word that they walked in, the faith of what produced patience in them, that's what changed the world in which they lived in, the dispensation. And he says in verse 4, he goes on, we're just going to go through several of these real quick. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. And we could stop on any one of these, and a few of them we will. By verse 5, by faith, Enoch. How many of you know who Enoch was? He was a guy that loved God, walked with God. He was translated because God took him, because he had this report that he loved God and pleased God. So Enoch was translated. Goes on. We love this verse, verse 6. But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a what? He's a rewarder of what? Them that diligently seek him. By faith, Noah. By faith, Noah. Well, here Noah got a word. Noah got a word. God says, I'm going to destroy the earth. How long did it take that word to come to pass? 100 years. The man, by faith, he believed God's word, but faith turned into patience, a long enduring fight, a long enduring consistency of obedience. Chapter 6, he says, be followers of those who faith and patience inherited the promises. Here in chapter 10, he's telling us to don't cast away your confidence. Stay in there. Continue to go on. And he says here, let me give you an example. The dispensations in which these inheritors lived in, they changed their world through hearing from God and believing God's word, and then stayed on course and stayed in patience until they inherited the promise, until whatever God spoke to them about was going to come to pass. By faith, Noah. We know the message of Noah. By faith, Abraham. Verse 8. Abraham was called to come out of his country. When God spoke to him, he didn't have any other word except, come out, follow me. I'm going to make you a great nation. Verse 11, through faith, also Sarah herself received, verse 11, received strength to conceive seed. Now, how many of you ladies at 90 years old could believe God for you to have a baby? Huh? Not too many? Some of you right now say, no, I don't even want to think about that. That's. She believed the word of God. She framed her world by believing the word of God. Verse 17, it says, by faith, Abraham. He's just continuing to tell these Jews and these Hebrews, look, stay on course, because these are examples of faith before you. They're examples leading up to one example. Verse 17 says, by faith, Abraham. Verse 20 says, by faith, Isaac. That's his son. By faith, Jacob. It's telling us every one of these people received a word from the Lord. They walked in that word, and they walked in it with patience. By faith, Joseph. By faith, Moses. I mean, if we stopped, we could hold the whole service on giving an example of their faith. Esteeming, and every one of these people, even though some of them may not have understood that they were being used by God, they were preaching the message of Christ. These Old Testament saints were preaching the message of Christ. Verse 26 says, esteeming the reproach of Christ, talking about Moses, it says that he esteemed the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. For he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king. He endured as seeing him who is invisible. Through faith he kept the Passover. Verse 29, by faith they passed through the Red Sea. Verse 30, by faith the walls of Jericho. And I mean, he's building up steam here. He's telling them, come on, come on, come on, church. Hallelujah. He's telling them, you got to stay in. I'm giving you an example. Here's examples. You're under persecution. Well, these people were under, they heard from the Lord and they walked in patience. By the time he gets to verse 30 again, he says, by faith the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days. Verse 31, by faith the harlot Rahab pursued not with them that believed not when she had received the spies with peace. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing that Rahab, the harlot, now, I think it's Matthew's gospel that records that she was the wife of Salmon, S-A-L-M-O-N. He was one of the two spies, from what I understand, that went in and visited her house. Isn't it amazing? Now, what a testimony to what God does. Jesus is, he is born of a virgin, but it's, I want to say Ruth's, Obed is David's grandfather, and Rahab, was she married to Obed? Rahab is David's great grandmother or grandmother. Isn't that amazing that the blood of Jesus is so strong by signification or by a way of example that a harlot can be saved? In the old, you can read her confession in the old. Now, she wasn't born again yet, but here are harlots in the lineage of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Jesus Christ saves everybody. Amen. And it says here, by faith, the harlot Rahab, she came in. She was an example of faith. And what shall I say for the time? He's saying, look, all these examples, he's building up steam. He's trying to tell them, look, all these are in front of you. Don't give up. They're examples of faith of Gideon. If you go back and read in Judges, you'll find the example of Gideon. I mean, God called him and said, look, I want you to go out and I want you to rescue my people. And 32,000 men showed up. And the Lord says, you've got a problem. And Gideon said, I know, basically I don't have enough people. And God says, no, you got a problem. You got too many. And he says, tell everybody that's afraid, go home. And, he stands up and he says, anybody that's afraid, go home. And 22,000 of them leave. And God says, oh, and can you imagine? I mean, he's thinking, oh, God, what have you done? What have you done to me? And so he says, you still got a problem. And Gideon says, I know, I've only got 10,000 men. You ran off 2/3 of my church. Well, could tell them to go home, everybody that's afraid. And God said, no, you got a problem. You got too many people. He said, oh, my God. He said, well, no, take them down to the water. And he said, I want you to watch them, all 10,000 of them. Anybody that gets down on their knees and he says, anybody that gets down on their knees and drinks the water on their knees, he said, mark those, any of them that pick up, cup the water, lap it like a dog. He says, keep your eyes on them. Why? Because those are the chosen ones. Those are the ones who are keeping their eyes on the horizon. Those are the ones in the watchtower. Those are the ones that are saying, look, I've been called for a mission. I've been called for a purpose. And he said, those are the ones. So only 300 out of 10,000. And Gideon's thinking, oh my God. And Paul is preaching this to them, or the writer's preaching this to them. Don't give up. See all these people? And they're like, Yeah. That's my favorite one. That's my favorite one. That's my favorite example. I remember the story of Gideon. I can stay in there with him. I can stay in Christ because I know that I can, I can make an example, to myself of believing in what happened for the good. And he says in Barak was he's another one that is mentioned in the book of Judges. He's the one that helped out the Deborah, which was used by God, and he went with her and he delivered and Samson and he's going on. I mean, he's just going so fast now. He's naming one right after the other, and they're saying, okay, so he says, and Samson and Jephthah. Jephthah was a man that he was a Israelite, but his mother was a harlot, and all of the Israelites cast him aside and said, we want to have nothing to do with you, until the enemy came in like a flood. There's a huge, and they went to him and said, we see that you've got something on your life. Would you help us? And he says, yes, I will. And he went to God and said, God, will you help them through me? And so God helped him. And he mentioned Samson. I mean, if this was a church that he's trying to light up, it's a church that he's naming one example right after the other of saying, you need to hang in here. You need to keep going forward. And they're saying, yeah, I like this one. I like that one. I'm thinking of, I'm reading verse 32. If this is a, this morning we're not getting too much response. I don't know why. But all of you that usually are saying amen are very, very quiet this morning. I don't know why, but anyway, if we were in a black church, and don't write me and say, well, race. If you say color nowadays, you can't even sing Jesus Loves the Little Children of the World. Red and yellow, black and white, because somebody's wanting to say race. I got a black son-in-law and two black grandchildren, and man, you better not mess with them. They're the greatest things on the planet. But if we were in a black Jewish church, if Paul was writing to them, he's given these examples, and man, they're preaching with him. You know, if you preach with somebody, they preach better. They really do. They really preach better. Well, that's why they can get into it. And then, when he started saying the walls of Jericho, they're probably preaching with him. Amen, glory to God. Joshua fought the battle of Jericho. Jericho. And Samson. I remember we were singing a couple days ago. I remember when I was a kid, they used to sing a song. One group came through I got this black choir behind me singing now, so I'll sing with them. Delilah, now this is to you boys. Delilah was a long-haired pretty thing with flashing dark brown eyes. And Samson was the servant, I'm laughing, the servant of the living God who never was to compromise. They're remembering all this. This is what, he met her in a little town one day. The lass was sweet to him, but the Lord saw it all and it grieved his heart, for Samson fell in sin. Everybody say, Samson fell in sin. Run, Samson, run. Delilah's going to get you. Run, Samson, run. She's going to cut your hair. Run, Samson, run. You're going to lose your power, and you're going to go to prison and die down there. What's the next one? Oh, yeah. Well, you like that? I'll give you some more. Delilah was paid by the Philistines to find. This is a 40 years old. 40 years ago, Delilah was paid by the Philistines to find what made him strong. Three times she tricked and tried to betray the man who wore his hair so long. Give me some. She begged and pleaded until one day his soul could stand no more. He said, if you cut my hair, I'll be weak, for it means I am the Lord's. Okay, run, Samson, run. Delilah's going to get you. Run, Samson, run. She's going to cut your hair. Run, Samson, run. You're going to lose your power, and you're going to go to prison and die down there. One last verse. They cut his hair while he was asleeping, and he never heard a sound. When he awakened, his knees started shaking as they dragged him to the ground. The Philistines put out his eyes and bound him with their chains. He became a slave in the prison house and died down there in chains. All right, boys, that's a good example. So he's preaching. So he's preaching all this to them, and they're saying, this is an example. This is an example. And he says, he's got their attention, and they're being built up in faith. And he's saying, don't quit, don't quit. And he says, through faith, they say, you know, by now they're sky high, and they're believing they can stay in and walk in faith and do with it. And he says, through faith they subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouth of lions. How many of you know that they knew who he was talking about? That had to be Daniel. He's giving them all these Old Testament. They quench the violence of fire, escape the edge of the sword. They're saying, come on, you know, come on, the choir's preaching. Come on, that makes me happy. Come on, come on. Out of weakness, they were made strong. They waxed violent in the fight. And they're, glory to God, glory to God. I mean, you know, they're having a Holy Ghost breakthrough and shaking. I'm dancing, glory to God. They're dancing and singing. They turned the flight of the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead, raised to life again, and others were, wait a minute. Then he begins to, what? Others were tortured. How's this faith? They must have got immediate relief. They were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. In other words, they went all the way to death. And others, now the choir's kind of calming down a little bit. And others had trials of cruel mockings and scourgings. They're saying, ooh, you mean if I stay on this walk, that might happen to me? Yeah. Yeah, Hebrews that are being tempted to go back. But let me tell you, those of the old didn't go back. If they didn't go back, you don't have to go back. Scourgings, yea, moreover, bonds and imprisonments. They're now the choir silent. They were stoned. They were sown asunder. Everybody's saying, now they're saying, whoa, the place got quiet. Isaiah is not by the word, but historically said to have been the prophet Isaiah that we get so many wonderful promises. It's typically understood to be sown in half by the wicked king of the day. They were sown asunder, were tempted, were slain with a sword. They wandered about, those that preached the truth. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins. In other words, he tells us why, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and in caves of the earth. And these, all having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. But you know what, folks? We've received the promise. God, having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. And there's no division here between 11 and 12. It says, wherefore, seeing we are also compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. Now, it's not saying that they're witnessing us, like, you know, when you preach a funeral, they're saying, grandma's looking down, she's in a cloud, she's looking and she's witnessing. You stay in there, son, you keep... It's not what it's saying. It's not saying that they are witnessing us. It's saying everybody that he just witnessed or everybody that he just mentioned is a witness or a testimony to us. We're compassed about by all of these examples, all the ones that we aspire to and say, that's my boy, that's my boy. He hung in there until he got deliverance. And then some of them, he said, they didn't get deliverance. The deliverance they got was on the other side. They had to go all the way through. And he's saying, they're a testimony. They're a witness to us. He says, let us lay aside. This is to the church. Now this is us. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily doth beset us, and let us run with, again he mentions what? Patience, the race that is set before us. Looking, now he changes the whole thing, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. When he says looking unto Jesus, what he's actually saying is, look, I've stacked the deck up to this point. I encouraged all of you to stay in there because of all these examples. But when he gets there, he's saying, look, now you've got to turn your eyes on Jesus, because none of these guys is the true example. The only true and faithful living example is Jesus Christ. All of these were a shadow of everything to come. And if you aspire in any of them, if you got encouragement of any of them, I can tell you this, they weren't the true example. You've got to turn your eyes on Jesus. Jesus is the one. He's the author and the finisher of our salvation. He says, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our salvation, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame. Is who's your example, Pastor? Is Moses? Is Joshua? None of them are my example. Jesus Christ is my example. I take encouragement in what they did, but I look unto the author and the finisher of my salvation, which is Jesus Christ. Well, I look at these are men. I cherish what they did. But now I've turned my eyes off of them. And he's saying, look, you Hebrews, you cannot keep your eyes on them. You've got to look at, because there's none like Jesus. He's the one that's taught us that we're free from sin. He's the one that has taught us that you thought these guys could endure affliction. There's none that can cause you to endure affliction like Jesus Christ. If you're going to go through persecution in this life, there's only one that can guide you. All these examples are just good examples, but I can tell you this, he's saying this, look unto Jesus, stay in him. If you'll stay in Jesus Christ, he's the author and the finisher of salvation. He endured the cross. He despised the shame. He became the author and the finisher of salvation. If you stay in him, there's nothing that'll ever turn you back. There's nothing that'll ever cause you to go back. You appreciate these things, that's good. Appreciate them, but know this, there's only one from heaven that has ever come, and he's the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the one that we live and move and have our being in today. Hallelujah. 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 Glory be to God. You want another Samson song? No, I'm just kidding. He'll do anything. Hallelujah, Jesus, we love you. We glorify you. In you we live and move and have our being. I thank you for all the examples of the old. But Father, there's only one real example that I have now, and that is Christ in me, the hope of glory. He's the one through the person of the Holy Spirit who teaches me how to persevere. He's the one who causes me to know that tomorrow is sure and steadfast. I thank you for the examples of the old. I thank you for the examples, Lord, that you've placed in front of us. I use them, Lord, as examples of patience. But, Lord, my eyes are not set on them. My eyes are set upon the Lamb. And I give you praise and glory. And in this, we will not stop. We will continue to pursue God until Immokalee is in the rage of revival, that the blind see and the lame walk. Lord, we thank you that you delivered your saints. You said time and time again how you delivered them. But, Father, if we have to go all the way to death for this purpose, we're willing to do this in Jesus' name. And we give you all the praise and glory. Would you stand with me this morning, lift up your hands, and give all the glory to God? We praise you, Jesus. We praise you, Jesus. We praise you, Jesus. We praise you, Jesus. Blessed be the Lamb. Blessed be the Lamb. Blessed be the Lamb. Hallelujah, Jesus. Just stand there and worship him just a moment.